forget. Neither would I. But I had to finish what I started. I needed answers about James. Were you with him? I can't do this right now, Ian. I motioned between us. I'm here for James. It's always been about James. When will it be about Amy? I ground my teeth. This was about me. Come over here. I have something to show you. He clasped my hand and led me to a table shadowed under an umbrella. His laptop was open. He pulled out a chair for me and sat in the one beside mine. He pushed away his laptop and angled his chair to face me. I found James's missing paintings. I blurted. He sucked in a harsh breath. They were upstairs in Carlos's private studio. I picked at the peeling paint on the chair arm with my fingernail. He doesn't remember me, and he acts like he's had no memory loss. I offered to help, and he told me to leave. He also said Imelda is his sister. I don't understand what's going on with him. Ian rubbed his palm back and forth across his chin. What have I told you about my mother? I leaned away. What does she have to do with James? Ian gave me a fixed stare. I sagged deeper into my chair. You haven't told me much, only that your mom had some mental health issues. She had DID, dissociative identity disorder, what used to be known as multiple personalities. Mom had two. Sarah, her dominant identity, was my mother. Then there was Jackie. Ian ran his hands over his shorts, shifting in his seat. She scared the shit out of me. In a way, Mom was very much like Jekyll and Hyde. I never knew who I'd find at home after school. Did Jackie hurt you? Not physically, but she hated me, and she hated my father. Jackie didn't consider herself married, so she often left, days at a time during some spells. I'd have to fend for myself if Dad was out of town on business. Your mother must have felt terrible leaving you like that. She did, after I told her what she'd done or showed her pictures. I frowned. She wouldn't remember. Sarah had no memories of her time when Jackie was the dominant personality, and Jackie couldn't tell you a thing about Sarah. Total memory lapses both ways. Simply put, Sarah and Jackie were two different people. They talked differently, too. I reached for Ian's hand. That must have been horrible for you. He gave me a bittersweet smile. My mom's the reason why I don't do portraits. She'd ask me to take pictures of her whenever Jackie showed up. She wanted to know how Jackie looked, the way she dressed and did her hair, what she'd do. My pictures always caught Jackie at her worst. Mom hated those pictures, and I hated the person I saw in them. You see a lot more detail in a blown-up picture on the wall than you do in a thumbnail-sized clip, including the shit people try to hide. It's in their eyes. What happened to her? I don't know. He looked beyond my shoulder, his gaze internal. The day Lainey found me, I'd been on my own for a week. Mom and I had been shopping. We were living in Idaho at the time. You can drive for miles and see nothing but fields. At a four-way stop in the middle of nowhere, Sarah left. And there was Jackie. She looked at me in the rearview mirror and said two words. Get out. She didn't need to say anything else. I got out of that car so fast, not thinking I didn't have a way home. All I cared about was getting away from her. Lainey was at the diner where my dad and the police searching for me had met to study a map of the area. They were trying to figure out where they hadn't yet looked. Lainey was there with her own family and offered to help my dad. The police laughed when she claimed she was a psychic, but Dad was open to all the help he could get. She led him directly to me. I was filthy and starving and had been hiding in a drainage ditch. I didn't want Jackie to find me. Mom came home 2 days after I did. Dad found a specialist, hoping to suppress Jackie. The doctor explained Mom had been severely abused as a child, which he believed was the cause of her DID. On an emotional level, she'd separated herself from the trauma. When I was born, Jackie arrived several months later. The shift between her identities became increasingly frequent over the years. The doctor told Dad raising a kid was too stressful. Mom needed to leave us if there was any hope for her. I haven't seen her since. That's why you're looking for Lacey. I mean, Lainey, I said. You want her to help you find your mom. Ian nodded. I miss her. I squeezed his fingers. I hope you find her. Someday. He removed his hand and tapped his fingers on the table. Anyway, I was thinking about what you'd said the other day, how Carlos seems unaware there's a memory loss. It reminded me of my mother. He pulled his laptop toward him. I don't think he has amnesia. You think he has, what did you call it, dissociative identity? No, I... Then what the hell's wrong with him? I asked, growing impatient. It has to be amnesia. He doesn't remember me. Or his real name, or anything about his former life, friends, family, nothing. I bet Carlos knows absolutely nothing about James, right? I don't think so. Ian strummed his fingers. I think he has dissociative fugue. Dissociative what? I don't... He raised a hand. Hear me out. I can't prove that's what's wrong. It's only a guess. You'll want to consult with a doctor or maybe ask Carlos, but fugue makes sense to me. The disassociation results from severe emotional trauma. Something happened to James when he came to Mexico. Whatever it was, his mind shut down and erased everything. Ian tapped his laptop. It's sort of like what happens when a computer crashes and the hard drive dumps all the info. Then how am I supposed to help him? Ian's eyes softened. I don't think you can. I thought about my request of Carlos. Familiar surroundings should work, right? Recovery from fugue isn't guaranteed. Most of the time people regain their memories within hours of losing them. Sometimes days, and the memories return as suddenly as they disappeared. Ian snapped his fingers. But he's been this way for almost 2 years. There are cases where the disassociation has lasted years. There are also extreme cases where the symptoms last, well, indefinitely. I'm sorry, Amy. He pushed the laptop toward me. I watched the screen fade to black, hibernating. He may never get his memories back. Ian pushed out a breath. I think you should be prepared that James may be gone indefinitely. I frantically shook my head. With DID, two or more personalities exist, but they swap places, he explained. That's not the case with fugue. The pre-existing identity is lost and a new one created. Unless someone tells the person what's wrong, the new identity has no idea it's a replacement. That could explain why James, I mean, Carlos, hasn't tried to recover his memories. He doesn't know he's James, and it's a good guess no one told him. Ian gently rested his hand on my knee. Amy, it's likely James no longer exists. In a way, he is dead. I pushed Ian's hand off. He flared his fingers before resting his hand on the table. Emotions warred within him. I could tell by the way he fisted his hand and took several deep breaths. He wanted to touch me, but kept his distance. I needed that distance to think. I rubbed my forehead. How can James be gone if there are hints of him inside Carlos? I explained the signature paint and the visions Carlos had. He'd been trying to paint me for months. I'm not an expert. I don't have those answers. Ian's theory sounded too surreal and tragic. I wasn't ready to give up hope. What if he does get his memories back? Here's where things get tricky. If he does, and that's a very big if since he's been this way for so long, he'll be extremely confused, especially with the time gap. What time gap? The one when James comes back. When he does, Carlos disappears, along with all of Carlos's memories. I gasped. He won't have any memory of his life in Mexico? To him, it'll be as though he left you yesterday. I don't know what else to say, but this is something you should look into, read about. I've left some websites open. He skimmed his fingers over the touchpad, waking the laptop. And Amy? I looked up from the monitor. Ian's expression was guarded as he glanced toward the hotel lobby. Tread carefully. Fugue is the mind's way of protecting itself from something it can't process, or doing so is too painful. There's a reason James has been left here, away from family and friends. Someone doesn't want him to remember. But I think he's already asking questions. What do you mean? My meeting with Imelda was cut short. Carlos is in there now. Ian pushed from his chair and said goodbye. I shot to my feet. Where are you going? He thumbed over his shoulder. The lobby. There might be a chance I can catch Imelda when Carlos is done. I grabbed my bag. I'm coming with you. He stepped in front of me. I don't think that's a good idea. Why not? He grasped my arms. I felt as though he was waylaying me. I've dumped a lot of info on you. Take a moment to process. I want a moment with Imelda. Don't be rash. You're too upset right now. Bullshit! She violated him! His eyes widened, shocked by my outrage. I didn't give a shit. She'd stolen almost 2 years of James's life, our life, together. Ian tightened his grip. You don't know if that's what she did. Neither do you, I cried, trying to shrug him off. You're not being rational. Think, Amy. I doubt Imelda's the only person who screwed James over. My lips pressed flat. Thomas. He had to be involved, and I was willing to bet Amy's he'd known the whereabouts of James and his paintings all this time. Ian gave me a straight look. His line of thinking was on the same track as mine. Adrenaline powered through me. My entire body quaked. I needed answers. I need to talk with Imelda, now. Don't risk the chance of scaring her off. Talk to her when you've calmed down. His fingers dug into my shoulders and a slew of emotions marred his face. I sensed his need to crush me against his chest and whisk me away, far from the man who kept me from him. He managed to keep his distance, elbows locked, but he felt miles from me. He was already letting go. I know it's hard, but give Carlos his time with her, he said. Until you showed up, he probably had no reason to suspect he'd been deceived. Use this time to understand what you're dealing with. Read the articles, make a list of questions to ask Imelda. Figure out what you'll say to Thomas when you see him next. I walked in a tight circle. He watched me cautiously. Do you want some water? I'll get you a glass. No, no water. I reluctantly eyed his laptop. The same part of me understood I should do as he suggested, get a grip, read, then ask questions. All right then. Well. He ran blunt fingers roughly over his scalp. His sun-bronzed hair stood on end. Come find me when you're ready. I'll walk with you to Imelda's office. I watched Ian disappear into the lobby and had to stop myself from running after him. I had a sudden urge to drown in the compassion he freely offered, seeking refuge from the insanity of James's situation. I also wanted to storm after Imelda and demand she tell me what the hell she'd done to James. But that wouldn't get me anywhere, as my actions this morning had proved. As Ian had requested, I wouldn't do anything rash. I'd already run off to Mexico before doing any research, which was exactly what I needed to do right now. I needed to understand everything before talking with Imelda and confronting Thomas. I especially wanted to be prepared before I approached Carlos. Otherwise, he would send me away again. I sat in the chair and awakened Ian's laptop. My brows shot skyward. He had more browser windows open than I could count, stacked on top of one another like pancakes. From what Ian had described, James's memory loss wasn't the result of a physical trauma. It was psychological, something so intolerable he couldn't cope. His mind had removed him from the situation by erasing everything. Then, like an empty hard drive, he took on new data in the form of a new identity. Carlos. Or to be more precise, Jaime Carlos Dominguez. Someone had to have created the life for him. His initials weren't a coincidence. I thought of Imelda and what she could have told James while he'd been lost and confused and his mind so empty he'd absorbed any information given. I thought of Thomas. Why would he do something so vile as staging his brother's death? What happened to you, James? I scanned the articles, digesting as fast as my eyes could feast on the words. I clicked links, opening more pages while saving others as favorites. I would have Ian email the web addresses and read everything again later. I also read what Ian had explained about fugue state, how James would have complete amnesia during the fugue period, forgetting all he knew as Carlos when his memories returned. If they returned. I read how some patients, going through years of fugue state, continuously worked to retrieve their original identities. They were aware they suffered from fugue. James wasn't. Or he hadn't been until I showed up. His real identity hadn't been disclosed to him. I surmised he was told he was a Mexican citizen, had a life in Puerto Escondido, and he'd been severely injured, like a surfing accident. Why deceive him? And how did he end up hundreds of miles from where he should have been? His travel records confirmed his overnight stay in Playa del Carmen, just south of Cancun. They had to have been falsified. That way his family and friends believed James died on a business trip, far from where he lived. No one would find him. A pop-up window opened, warning 10% battery life was left. Moments later, the screen went black. I slammed the laptop closed and went to the hotel lobby. Ian must still be with Imelda. I didn't see him. The front desk clerk gave me a map of the resort, circling the wing housing the management offices. At the end of a corridor off the main lobby, I found him. He stood beside Imelda, who wept. Ian's lips moved, but I couldn't ascertain the words, not over Imelda's gut-wrenching sobs. Carlo stood off to the side, alone, head bent, an arm propped against the wall. He looked as though he tried to balance himself in a world that had been turned upside down. I rushed over to him. His head snapped up and I stopped, unable to move past the rage rolling off him. It punched me in the gut. James?
That's not my name,
he snarled. He straightened and pushed by, knocking my shoulder. I chased after him. I'm sorry, Carlos, listen to me. Fingers grabbed my elbow, yanking me back. Amy, don't. I whirled and jerked my arm. What are you doing, Ian? Let go of me. Not now. He grabbed my other elbow. Now's not a good time. He nodded toward Imelda, hunched against the wall. She told Carlos everything. Everything? What the hell was everything? I glared at Imelda. Tell me what you did to him. I tugged against Ian's grip. Damn it, Ian, back off! I stood on a precipice, ready to leap and wring her neck. My fingers clawed at the air. In the back of my mind, I understood I was losing my grip on my sanity. James, Imelda, Thomas, Lacey. James's missing paintings, staged death. Sleeping with Ian, opening my heart to him. It was all too much. Ian held on, his blunt nails digging into the soft tissue under my arms. I screamed at my frustration. Imelda recoiled, facing the wall. Calm down, Ian yelled. He shushed, trying to pacify me. Fuck off. I didn't come all this way to sit back and wait for everyone to calm down, I shouted. We are way past the point of being civil. She's had more than enough time to tell James, like 19 fucking months. I want to know what the hell is going on. I yanked my arms, twisting. Ian started to drag me down the hallway away from Imelda. God damn it, Ian, let go! She's right. Ian and I stopped struggling. In unison, we gawked at Imelda. His grip loosened and I slipped free, running hands over the reddened skin to assuage the sting. Imelda eased away from the wall. I should have told him months ago. I've hurt him. He's in horrible pain. He hates me. She glanced at Ian. His hand rested on my shoulder, ready to stall me. I still felt the itch to lunge for Imelda. She nodded at him. It's all right. She needs to know. And her eyes darted from Ian to me. I've been expecting your arrival.
What?
Ian and I said in unison. Ian dropped his hand and I moved away. Imelda fixed sad eyes on me.
Come with me.
She brushed past, and I gave Ian his laptop, smacking the computer against his chest. Payback for the fingerprints he'd left on my arms. The battery's dead, I grumbled, trailing after Imelda.
Amy,
he said with quiet ferocity. I stopped, but didn't turn.
I'll be at the beach cafe if you need me.
I gave him an abbreviated nod without looking at him, and walked away. Chapter 25. Imelda led me to the beach. I followed through the mass of spectators, doing my best not to lose sight of her. Once past the surf competition area, I closed the distance, walking by her side. We continued along Playa Zicatela, and I wondered if she planned to trek the entire way to La Punta, a rocky point at the other end of the beach, when she suddenly stopped and faced the ocean.
This is where I found him.
I followed her gaze beyond the surging waves.
Out there?
No, here. She pointed to the sand by her feet, her exotic accent thick with emotion.
I came across him during my evening walk. He was drenched and wandering the beach, dazed and disoriented, exhausted.
She looked at me with an anguished expression.
There were cuts and scrapes over his entire body. His face was swollen and bloody like he had been in a fight. I do not think that is what happened.
He hadn't been surfing, had he? She shook her head.
Zicatela's waves can break boards and backs. They are very powerful. You have to respect the ocean here.
She pointed toward La Punta.
I believe the currents pushed him against those rocks from wherever he swam.
A chill raced across my skin. In my mind's eye, I saw James tossed in the waves, repeatedly thrown against the rocks while he struggled to shore. Then I remembered the weird visions I'd had before passing out in the women's restroom, right after I'd seen Lacey. Had they been real?
What happened to him? I asked.
No sé. Imelda's lips curved downward.
I do not know.
She glanced back at the resort. The hotel's property had been in my late husband's family for many generations. He inherited the land after we married and started plans for the hotel. The resort was his dream, and became mine, too. We spent 3 years obtaining loans and building our savings for this hotel. It was so beautiful, magnifico. Her lips expanded into a shaky smile. Then her eyes turned sad.
My husband had a heart attack 6 months after we opened. He died in my arms. I inherited everything, a hotel I did not know how to operate on my own, and creditors breathing down my neck.
She folded her arms and rubbed her elbows.
4 months after he died, I had to make a decision, sell the hotel or walk. So I came here to think. I was ready to give up hope on our dreams. The hotel was all I had left of my late husband. This is when I came across Carlos.
What did he say when you found him?
He did not know his name, where he was from, or how he arrived on the beach. Many months ago, he told me his first memory was seeing me. I took him to our clinic. His nose and cheek were broken. He needed extensive facial surgery. Our doctors did not have the skills. They did not know what to do with him. He had no memories.
But he'd been reported missing, I said. Someone would have figured out who he was. Her eyes skirted downward. She circled fingers around her elbows with nervous energy.
He'd been reported missing off the coast of Cozumel, so no one would connect the man in our clinic to the man who had gone missing nearly 1,000 miles away. By the time he was reported missing, the clinic and I had already been paid off to keep silent.
Who paid you off? I asked, despite having suspicions. She moistened her lips.
Within hours after I admitted Carlos, an American arrived. He said he was a friend of Carlos, but I believed him a relation. They had the same eyes.
I started shaking, even though I wasn't surprised.
Thomas. He made me an offer I could not refuse.
I crumpled onto the sand. Like Imelda, Thomas had paid me off, so I'd go my merry way through life.
Cash the check,
he'd told me on more than one occasion.
Open a restaurant,
he'd urged. And I had. It kept me distracted from the truth he hid. Imelda sat beside me.
This must be very painful for you. You were to be married, see?
His funeral was on our wedding day.
Ah, Lo siento, she murmured. Her tone hinted of an apology. I only stared at the sand. In the beginning, Thomas asked me to watch over Carlos, she continued. I was to keep him safe and report anything suspicious. I lifted my head. Like what? He was on a business trip. His life was in danger. Someone had tried to kill him. My heart beat furiously. Lacey had mentioned something about danger in her note, but the idea seemed preposterous. James had led such a normal life. Who was after him? I do not know. Part of my deal with Thomas was not to ask questions. Why would you accept such a deal from a stranger? Her lips quivered, and I gasped. He paid off the hotel, didn't he? Was it worth it, my fiancé's life for your debt-free one? I gave him a new one, she defended, a better one. Is that what Thomas told you? Too bad you can't ask James what he thinks. He had a good life, I shouted. It was beautiful. Here he is free. He does not have to keep secrets. What secrets? He had no secrets. She gave me a flat look. Are you absolutely certain? I looked across the ocean, my mind as chaotic as the fierce waves. Seeds of doubt sprouted in the pit of my stomach and grew thorny vines twisting around my bones. No, I wasn't sure, not anymore. If it was difficult for James to talk about Phil and the night of our engagement, then there had to be other things he didn't share. My friend Ian believes James has dissociative fugue, I said. She raised her brows, impressed. He is right. The doctors believe the memory loss is psychological. Thomas wanted to make sure Carlos did not remember anything about his previous life, so we fabricated a new one. He brought in specialists. They reconstructed Carlos's face. Nobody would recognize him. Everyone was given a nice settlement to keep quiet. Money speaks louder than words here, especially American dollars. While I cared for Carlos at my home, Thomas built his life. He had his paperwork created, birth certificates, identification. She gave me a quick look. Carlos's old paintings from his life in America. Thomas made it appear Carlos had recently arrived in town to open his art gallery. He was my long-lost adopted brother. In the eyes of the world, Carlos was a Mexican citizen. Thomas believes the more substantial a life we created for Carlos, the less chance his memories returned. See, there were holes in our story. But since Carlos had only recently found me, his adopted sister, I did not have to answer his questions because I could not. We had only started getting to know each other again, before his surfing accident. She spat the last two words as though detesting the lies she'd told. I tried to wrap my head around the web of deceit. I couldn't imagine pretending to be someone I wasn't. How could you lie for so long? She pressed her lips thin. It was very hard in the beginning. I always thought Carlos would see right through me. But the checks from Thomas kept coming. She stole another glance at me before staring at the sand under her toes. They still come. I rubbed my face. Oh my God, Thomas was still paying her. Did you ever try telling James the truth? She blushed and looked at her hands. I recognized the look. You fell in love with him. Only as a sister, as a brother. Please understand, I had no one, she defended, pleading with open palms. My husband died, my parents had died the year before, and I lost my adopted brother when he was a child. I was alone, and finally had someone. That is why I gave him my brother's name, Carlos Dominguez. Carlos means free man. I thought the name suited him. Thomas insisted the first name start with J because of the paintings. Jaime was my father's name. Why would Thomas want to hide James from his past? Why do all this? Thomas had a lot of explaining to do, if I didn't murder him first. Do not be angry with him. He was only protecting his brother. Imelda stood, turning her back to the ocean. A gust of wind blew hair in her face. Strands lashed her bronze skin. She brushed them away, coiling the hair around her palm. Take care of Carlos. He is very angry with me. He needs someone. I told him who you are, and that you are as much a victim as him. I pictured the last time I'd seen him, how he'd looked at me in the corridor when I'd called him James. I don't think he wants to see me either. Give him time. You are welcome to stay at the hotel for as long as you need, at no expense. It is the least I can do to atone for my sins. You said you'd been expecting me, I reminded when she started walking away. She stopped and faced me. I am a Christian woman, and I have greatly sinned. I fear for my soul, but I fear what Thomas will do more. He owns the note on my hotel, and I do not want him to take it away from me. But I felt guilty deceiving Carlos, so I asked Lucy to find someone Carlos once knew.
Lucy?
I asked, frowning. Then I remembered. Lacey. I had hoped she could convince a friend or family member Carlos was alive and not trace it back to me. I did not want Thomas to find out. Her shoulders rounded and she angled her body away from me. Who is Lacey? I mean, Lucy. Her eyes brightened. She rested a flat hand across her breasts. She is a frequent guest at Casa del Sol, who seems to visit when I need her most. Sometimes before I am aware I could use her wisdom. She is my friend. When she didn't say anything further, I blurted the questions stockpiling in my head. Where is she from? How do I find her? Ian would want to know. I wanted to know. She is... How do you say in English? An enigma? Si, she is that. Imelda started walking backward toward La Punta. A watery smile curved on her espresso face, the kind that appears when you have a lifetime's worth of confessions and no hope to correct your misdeeds. Lucy is a mysterious creature, is she not? She turned and left me alone on the beach. The return trip to the hotel seemed longer than the walk out. My feet dragged through the sand. I saw Ian watching me from his table on the deck, his expression pained. My heart twisted. Part of me wanted to go to him and leave behind the mess Thomas had created. But I couldn't leave James, not after what I'd learned. I averted my gaze, passing the cafe. When I entered my room, the phone was ringing. I skirted around the bed and fumbled for the receiver on the nightstand. Hello?
Finally! I've been calling all afternoon!
Kristen?
She snorted. Who else would it be? Why haven't you answered your phone?
I grabbed my cell. 4 missed calls. Sorry, I muted my phone. Kristen laughed.
Painting went that well. Tell me, is Carlos James?
I finished for her. Yes, he is. Thomas is responsible. She drew in a sharp breath and swore. I tucked the phone on my shoulder and rubbed my arms. My flesh was goose-pimply. I thought of the times Thomas had called or ordered coffee at the cafe, how he'd asked about my day. Perfect normal conversation, when all the while he'd been lying to everyone, including James. Bile knotted in my stomach.
I'm speechless, Kristen said. No wonder Thomas was being nosy.
Imelda said,
Who's Imelda?
She made an impatient noise.
Start at the beginning, tell me everything.
So I did.
How does Ian feel about this?
She asked when I finished. I chewed my thumbnail.
What aren't you telling me?
I slept with him.
Who?
She gasped.
Ian?
When I didn't reply fast enough for her, she laughed, low and wicked.
You're fucked.
Tell me something I don't know, I said, working another nail.
He's a great guy. He cares about you, and I'm willing to bet he loves you.
He does, I admitted.
He told you?
She asked, shocked.
Don't hurt him.
Too late for that. She made a sound of disappointment.
Do you want my advice?
Doesn't matter, you'll give it to me anyway.
Seriously, Amy, listen to me, she implored. I know you've had your heart set on finding James, but Ian may be right. James's identity may never come back. You need to prepare for the worst.
And I'm supposed to give up on him? I just found him. I have to help him remember.
Your flight leaves in 2 days. How do you expect to help him in 48 hours?
I chewed my lower lip, and she swore at my silence.
You don't plan to stay there, do you? What about your cafe, your family, me? she exclaimed. We're all here.
James is here. I tugged my hair, twisting the locks around my fingers. Now that I knew he'd been the victim of an elaborate scheme, I couldn't leave him behind. I had to help. Imelda has offered me a room for as long as I need.
Amy,
Kristen pleaded, is this really what you want to do? If you thought Nick had died, only to learn he was alive and didn't remember a single minute of your life together, could you walk away from him?
Probably not, she said after a moment. No, I couldn't.
Do you see why I have to stay and try to help him?
I think I understand why you want to, but you can't force Carlos to be someone he's not. Don't do to him what James's parents had done his entire life. You and James belong together, but you and Carlos are a whole different story. Figure out what you want before you approach him, she advised. He may not give up his life in Mexico, so while you're trying to convince him he's better off in California, you risk losing a man who loves you.
I was slowly accepting I had already lost Ian. I ached for him and James, but James needed me more. I said goodbye to Kristen and hung up the phone. A knock sounded and I tensed. Ian. He wanted to talk, and it wasn't fair of me to avoid him any longer. I went to answer the door, glancing through the peephole, and abruptly released the knob as though it singed my skin. Ian wasn't on the other side. It was Carlos. Chapter 26. What is he doing here? I took two steadying breaths, smoothed my skirt, and opened the door. Carlos stood alone in the hallway. He lifted his head, and the ceiling light caught the taut muscles along his jaw. He cleared his throat and stole a glance down the hallway.
I'm sorry about earlier.
I felt the sting of tears. His pain radiated off him. He'd been betrayed in the worst possible way.
Don't worry about it.
He rubbed his neck. His arm shook. Tell me how I can help you. I stepped into the hallway, the door clicking shut behind me. Please, I want to help. He fisted his hands in his pockets, which forced his shoulders to his ears. He still wore the faded jeans, fitted linen shirt, and flip-flops I'd seen him in this morning. I hadn't changed either from the blouse and skirt I'd put on after showering and leaving Ian. I pushed that thought aside and schooled my face. You can trust me. I inched closer. A muscle thrummed in his cheek. He looked ready to explode. Trust me, I repeated. Ever so gently, I touched his wrist. His eyes trailed my hand, lashes drifting lower. His jaw relaxed. Maybe Imelda was right. Carlos understood we'd both been victimized. Thomas had played us like pawns on a chessboard, and I feared the match was far from over. I had to win James back by convincing Carlos his life was with me. He moved away, breaking contact. I dug my fingernails into my palm. He swallowed.
I was supposed to take you to lunch.
Oh, I straightened. That's...
I want to take you to dinner.
Ah. Okay, I shifted, nervous. Let me get my purse. I fumbled with the door handle. The room was locked. Shit.
I'll get a key card at the front desk,
he offered. No, I gasped. No, that's all right. I'll get it later. I didn't want him to leave. What if he changed his mind about dinner? I'll pay you back tonight. The corner of his mouth lifted, but the smile lacked any warmth.
No bother. I'll take care of it.
He started to walk away, then turned and offered his hand. I wrapped my fingers within his larger ones, and I wanted to cry. It seemed a lifetime since we'd walked like this, side by side. Inside the elevator, Carlos pushed the button for the lobby. He leaned against the wall, arms crossed, and faced me. I scooted to the opposite corner and watched him. The air hummed between us, a charged mixture of words unspoken and questions unanswered. I clasped my hands, uncomfortable with his blatant inspection. Restrained fury oozed from him, rippling across my skin. Though his emotions weren't directed at me, I fidgeted, twisting my fingers in my shirt hem when I'd rather wring Thomas's neck. Keeping my voice light, I asked, Where are we having dinner?
I had planned for us to drive to the Rinconada for lunch, but now...
He paused and rubbed his forearms.
Someplace closer would be better.
Deep lines formed between his brows and he opened his mouth. No words followed. He looked at his feet, crossed at the ankles.
Well, I suppose we can dine on the beach at Playa Principal. We can walk there.
The bell chimed and the doors lumbered open. Carlos pushed away from the wall and I followed him through the lobby toward the beach. The late afternoon breeze had calmed, and the sun sat low on the horizon, setting the sky ablaze in color. It's gorgeous.
My favorite time of the day, he remarked beside me.
He walked the same as James, long strides full of laid-back purpose. When he talked, though, he was all Carlos, richly accented English mingled with sporadic Spanish. He explained how the fishermen worked. They moored their boats offshore overnight, setting baited hooks over the side for the next morning's catch. Their wives would clean and prepare the fish for nearby restaurants and local markets, right there on the beach, under the palms. He pointed at a line of palm trees, trunks bowed like arches over the sand. He spoke animatedly about anything but us and what he'd learned this afternoon. He used his hands in fluid motions as he talked. Once again, I caught myself comparing him to James, which was difficult not to do. Everything about Carlos, the way he moved or touched my arm to emphasize something he'd described, was all James. When he expressed how much he loved Puerto Escondido and couldn't fathom living elsewhere, I wondered if it was possible to be happy and sad at the same time.
"Did I say something to offend you?"
he asked. I turned into the fading light and swiped at an escaped tear. "No, nothing you said. I swore. This is all so...
overwhelming."
I laughed, a watery giggle. "Yeah, that's exactly it." He grinned, and I found myself amazed over his self-control. Here he was, taking a woman to dinner who was once his fiancée, who he had no memory of proposing to. What a mind screw! Didn't he have questions? Wasn't he upset? He'd been lied to and manipulated by those he trusted most for almost 2 years. "I can't imagine what you're going through," I said.
"I'm trying not to," he admitted. "Not at this moment, anyway."
The restaurant was a wood platform on the sand. Rope lights spiraled nearby palms with clear bulbs strung overhead. Market umbrellas shaded tables circling a space reserved for dancing. A Latin jazz quartet played off to the side. Carlos must have been a regular patron because the hostess seated us immediately, bypassing a line of customers. She offered him a bright smile and led us to a table along the edge where we had a view of the sunset. Carlos pulled out a chair for me, then sat in the one beside mine. We faced the ocean, the water much tamer here than the wild waves at Playa Zicatela. The hostess handed us our menus and excused herself. I glanced around. The restaurant was vibrant, exotic and colorful voices meshed with lively music. I inhaled the warm evening air, a tropical blend of grilled seafood, mangoes, and ocean spray. The band's easy rhythm had me smiling. My shoulders swayed. "This place is wonderful. Beautiful, too."
"I thought you'd enjoy it,"
he replied, and then frowned. I stopped moving. "What's wrong?" He stared at me, and my fingers fluttered to my hair, crimping the curls. "What are you thinking?" I asked, when he didn't say anything. He shifted, running hands over his thighs.
"You've probably guessed I have many questions."
"Of course, ask me anything. I want to help." I offered again. "Anything to help us."
"Gracias."
He turned his face to the ocean, where the sun resembled a neon orange slice melting on the horizon.
"I'd planned to talk tonight, but now I don't want to. Dios!"
He groaned, hooking his hands behind his head the way James had done when he would work through his thoughts. My gaze shifted away. I had to stop comparing him to the man he used to be.
"This is fucking insane. Everything Imelda said..."
He stopped, rubbing a finger against his brow.
"Sorry."
I didn't know if he apologized for his language or his assumption I wanted to spend the evening talking about us. I did, but more so,
I wanted just to be with him. Sitting beside him, watching the fading sunlight play along the sharp angles of his face, I could almost pretend life was simple, normal. Just the two of us. What do you want, then? My fingers twitched with the urge to touch him, feel the warm tautness of his skin. But I couldn't. We were strangers. Instead, I traced the line of his jaw, the hard curve of his cheekbone with my eyes. The lines were new, the angles not quite the same. But he was still beautiful to me. He pursed his lips in thought.
I just want to have dinner with you. Do you mind if we talk about this tomorrow? I need, time to think.
All right, I agreed. His questions could wait. We had a lifetime ahead of us. The waitress arrived and we ordered our drinks and meal. While we ate, Carlos talked about his life in Puerto Escondido, his passion for painting, and how he retaught himself after his accident. He loved teaching young students. I told him everything about my life that had nothing to do with him, from my cafe to my parents and my friends, how my passion was baking, and how I'd created a niche for myself with custom coffees. He didn't ask what had brought me to his town, and why I was there. I didn't ask what happened to him, and how he planned to recover. For all intents and purposes, we were on our first date. We shared stories, we smiled, and we laughed. The band launched into a new song. The saxophone player belted a long note, and the drummer banged his hands swiftly over the hide coverings. His body rocked with a beat that moved faster as the tempo built. Couples migrated to the floor and danced. I tapped my hands and feet, giggling at Carlos. He watched me, swirling his cocktail.
You love to dance?
Yes. How about you? He looked at the band and his lips pressed flat.
I don't dance.
Yes, you do. Dance with me, I blurted. His head swung around.
What?
Come on, dance with me. I stood and held out my hand in invitation. He stared at my outstretched arm. My fingers started shaking when he didn't take my hand. His gaze crawled up my arm until it met with mine.
I said, I don't dance. Not anymore.
I remained still for a very long moment. He looked away, back toward the ocean. A tick throbbed in his jaw and fingers clutched the chair arms. I lowered my arm and dropped into the chair. Something shifted inside me, and for the first time I saw him for the man he really was. Carlos. The waitress brought our check, and Carlos paid in cash, tossing bills onto the table. He stood, chair legs scraping hard on the floorboards.
I'll walk you back.
Chapter 27. We walked along Playa Marinero toward Casa del Sol. Carlos tucked his thumbs into his front pockets and watched the water-hardened sand pass under his feet. His fingers absently scratched at his jeans, his brows furrowed. I twisted a curl around my finger and slid him a sidelong glance. What happened at the restaurant? We were having a good time. I thought we'd connected. Where James would have leaped from his chair and whirled us onto the dance floor, Carlos had balked. I debated asking him about it, but I promised to keep things light tonight. Lost in his thoughts, Carlos hadn't said a word since we'd left the restaurant. He stopped abruptly and looked behind us. What's wrong? I asked.
I left my Jeep at the studio.
He scratched his chin and glanced around.
I'll take you to the hotel first.
He started walking, pausing to quirk a brow when I didn't follow. I thumbed over my shoulder. I'll go with you. You won't have to double back. He hesitated.
You sure?
Of course, it's a nice evening. Besides, I didn't want to go to my room and spend the night alone where sleep would elude me once again. I had no idea what tomorrow would bring after Carlos had the answers to his questions. Would I stay with him in Mexico? Or fly home? Would Ian still want to be my friend? I pushed him away, despite my promise not to. Carlos's Jeep Wrangler was parked in an alley behind the gallery. He assisted me up, holding the door open as I settled in the passenger seat and got in from his side. He drove back to Casa del Sol, easing to a stop at the curb by the hotel's main entrance.
A valet approached and Carlos waved him away. He kept the engine idling, hands clasped tightly to the steering wheel. I didn't want to get out of the Jeep, and Carlos hadn't asked me to leave. I peeked at him from under my lashes. I heard there's a festival downtown. He nodded, jiggling his knee. The weather's nice. I peered at the sky. The resort's glaring lights dulled the stars overhead. I love warm nights like this. He nodded again.
Si, me too.
Wondering where he'd go next if I didn't invite him to the festival, I asked, Do you live nearby? He pointed south.
Less than 2 kilometers down Zicatela.
I studied his profile, the steady rise and fall of his chest. Suddenly I didn't want to spend the night alone, or at a crowded festival listening to loud music. I'd love to see your home, I said. He looked at me, his gaze scrutinizing, and then shifted the Jeep into gear. We drove along Calle del Moro, the avenue parallel to Playa Zicatela, past restaurants, surf shops, nightclubs, and hotels, to a neighborhood of beachfront properties. Carlos turned into a driveway, stopping at a wrought iron fence. He pushed the remote hooked to his visor and the gate lumbered open. He eased through when enough space allowed passage and stopped beside a narrow 3-story house that was taller than wide. My mouth fell open. I ogled the top floor. Carlos cut the engine.
The third level is a rooftop deck. The mountain and beach views are great from up there, especially on a clear day.
The ocean thundered beyond the palms edging his property. You live on the beach. I groaned, envious. His lips twitched into a wide, lazy grin.
Come, I'll show you,
he said, hopping from the Jeep. He led us past a small pool, across a low-clipped lawn sprinkled with sand, and through an opening in the adobe half-wall separating his yard from the public beach. He turned and grabbed my hips. I sucked in a breath. He chuckled and lifted me onto the wall, sitting beside me. Our arms brushed. I resisted the urge to lean into him and nodded toward the spectacular view. Okay, I'll admit it. I'm jealous.
I can't imagine living anywhere else.
He pushed out a lungful of air, cheeks puffing.
Well, that was before this afternoon. I don't know what to think anymore.
I gazed beyond the churning water to the starry sky, wishing the abyss between us wasn't bigger than the Pacific Ocean. At least I could see the horizon in front of me. I had no idea if one existed for James. Would he recover from the fugue? Don't think, I pleaded, not yet.
That's the problem.
He sat upright. I can't stop. It's damn confusing. I'm confused. He lifted my left hand and studied the engagement ring.
Imelda told me you are, were my fiancée.
You gave me this ring when you proposed. He looked at me skeptically.
Shouldn't I remember?
The fugue prevents you. I should feel something for you. He was quiet for a moment, then rolled his lips inward.
Nope, I've got nothing.
My heart wilted. I can help. Let me help you remember, I offered in a tone iced with panic. Didn't he want to remember me?
It's not just the memory loss, Amy. That guy you loved isn't me. He's gone.
Shut up, I softly cried. Don't say that. Please don't. I clasped his hand. What about the dreams? You've dreamed about me.
I found an old painting of you in my studio. It could have triggered the dreams.
I don't believe you. Anger spiked inside me. After all you've learned today, how can you be so cold? Don't you feel anything? He laughed bitterly.
I feel, all right. I feel a shitload of anger from my brother, Thomas, right? And Imelda.
He shook his head.
She told me she was my sister, and I believed her. I fucking believed her. But with you...
He gave me an assessing glance.
I feel nothing but curiosity. I'm sorry.
I yanked my fist from his hands and staggered to my feet. I kept my back to him.
My memories go back 19 months, that's it. I save everything, magazines, books, I frame every picture. If I lose my memories again, I'll have something from my past.
I thought of the gallery, remembering the magazine stacks and book piles, unfinished paintings waiting for a signature or final touch-up, signed paintings he never displayed. He had kept everything. Everything from Carlos. But I had everything belonging to James. You do have a past, and I have pictures to show you. I have your clothes and more paintings. Your studio is still there in our home. We have a home.
My home is here.
I wrapped my arms tightly around my midriff and stumbled away, stopping when he said my name.
I don't know if I want to remember the past.
I felt myself die a bit inside. Can you at least try?
Why? I'd risk losing everything familiar to me, everyone I love.
I squeezed my eyes shut. He understood the twisted logic behind his condition. You're comparing 19 months to 29 years. What right do you have keeping James from me? You don't belong inside his body. You aren't him. He flinched.
See, you are correct. I'm not him. Not anymore. Whatever you say won't convince me to leave everything behind. I won't go away with you. I don't know you.
I whirled on him. You don't remember me. There's a difference. He fisted his hands on his thighs.
I can leave. I'm needed here.
You can paint anywhere. I swept my arms in an all-encompassing gesture. What's keeping you here? Surely not Imelda. She's not your sister. Your family's in California. I'm in California. What the hell is there for you here? He clenched his jaw and looked beyond my shoulders. I looked behind me.
The ocean?
I asked in disbelief. When he didn't say anything, I blocked his view.
You might not feel anything for me, but I feel everything for you.
You aren't the only one going through hell, I cried, hoarse. The worst feeling in the world is never to be remembered by the one person I can't forget, the one man I haven't been able to let go. My voice cracked against a dry throat and I coughed, deep, racking barks. The fit ensued and I doubled over. I felt an arm wrap around my back.
You need water. Let's go inside, he suggested and urged me forward.
I followed him through the kitchen slider and blinked against the glaring fluorescent lights he'd turned on. My breath hitched as I reined in the coughs. Feeling disheveled with tear-stained cheeks, I asked, Where's your bathroom?
Down the hall, on the left,
he said over his shoulder. He retrieved glasses from the cabinet. I went through the darkened hallway where Carlos directed and locked myself in the bathroom. I flipped on the light, turning on the faucet and splashed handfuls of water on my face, taking extra care to wash the mascara spiderweb etched over my cheekbones. I blindly reached for a towel, dried my face, and then stared at my reflection. Bloodshot eyes embedded in a pallid complexion glared back at me. How could Carlos believe 19 months of his life were more important than the 29 years James had? He was stealing James's life, robbing him of the years he could spend with me, and the one man affected the most had no say. James couldn't speak for himself. It was up to me to convince Carlos to give James's memories a chance. I folded the towel, smoothing the creases, and placed it on the bathroom counter beside an illustrated children's book. I stilled, and something twisted inside my chest. I spun around and saw a rack of picture books by the toilet, and toys in the tub. I whimpered, the towel and book dropping on the floor, and rushed from the bathroom. I stumbled into the brightly lit hallway. Framed pictures covered the wall like a checkerboard. Dozens filled the shelves in the front room. Photos of Carlos, Imelda, and people I didn't recognize, including a woman with brunette hair and russet skin. She looked happy, perfectly tucked into Carlos's side, his arm curved around her shoulders. Most of the pictures were of two boys, one a small child and the other an infant. In one photo, Carlos cradled the newborn. In another, the older boy painted at a kid's art table. It was the table I'd seen at the gallery. There were dozens of photos of the boys together, and others with the older boy wrapped in the arms of his parents. Carlos, his facial scars red and angry, and the mysterious woman, heavy with child, I spun around, furling all 10 fingers in my hair and tugged hard. My scalp burned.